First, in some parts of Wisconsin and the U.S., computer algorithms are used to assess what should be done with some defendants before their trials. These algorithms, known as risk assessment tools, take a person's criminal history and past behavior to predict their risk of committing a new crime and whether they'll fail to show up at their next scheduled court appearance. It can also play a role on what to do regarding bail, among other decisions. Supporters say the tools are an objective way to make bail decisions. Critics say there's a built-in bias. Our next guest took a look at these algorithms as part of an ongoing series exploring the use of cash bail here in Wisconsin and around the U.S. Emily Hamer is a reporter with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Emily, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, tell us what these pretrial risk assessments are.
So they're basically tools that they were created using a bunch of data from the criminal justice system. There are a lot of different ones out there, and they basically, they're used to predict the riskiness of defendants in terms of whether or not they'll commit a new crime if they're released before their trials, or whether or not they're a flight risk, whether or not they'll skip out on court. And then there are some that predict specifically whether, or try to predict specifically whether or not a defendant will commit a new violent crime.
And this would be used as opposed to the old system or the current system in many places, mm-hmm. where it's just, up to a judge to decide how much bail, if any?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as opposed to, though. It's in addition to. So it never is going to replace a judge's discretion. It's going to be up to the judge, but they're just one more piece of information that a judge can have at their disposal when making bail decisions or release decisions during the pretrial stage.
And where are these risk assessments being used right now around Wisconsin?
So right now, one risk assessment tool called the public safety assessment is being used in Milwaukee County, kind of in full swing. And then it's being piloted in Dane County on around half of the criminal cases here. There also could be risk assessment tools used elsewhere in the state, but it was really hard to kind of get a sense of what other counties are currently using them without kind of calling all 72 counties up on the phone. But there are also seven more that plan on piloting the public safety assessment soon.
And what's been the argument from advocates of these assessment tools?
So the arguments is that are that it draws a judge's attention to the objective risk that a defendant poses based on their past performance in court or their past performance, because the risk factors that make someone riskier are generally their criminal history, whether or not they've skipped out on court in the past. And so it's using those past performance measures to try to predict future performance. And so people, advocates, think it's a more objective way of looking at someone's riskiness rather than just a judge's perception of someone.
And you give in your reporting an example of one person, Eddie Armstrong. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk through his case and how this was used?
Yeah, so Eddie, he had already been sitting in jail for around 10 days waiting for his court date for the judge to set bail. And that is kind of a longer period of time than most people wait. But he was facing three different cases. One was theft charges. Another was one that got dismissed where he said that they had the wrong person. And another was a domestic incident with his fiance. And in his case, the risk assessment tool predicted him to be a low risk because he had only failed to come to court one time in the past. And he was a pretrial success in that he showed up for his court dates and didn't commit any new crimes when he was released pretrial.
We are talking to Emily Hamer with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, looking at what happens to people between the time they're charged for a crime and go to jail, whether they're kept in custody, whether they are whether bail is set for them. And we're looking at risk assessment tools, algorithms used to assess whether they're likely to show up for their trial, whether they're likely to commit a new crime in the intervening time. Emily, what are some of the objections that people have raised to these tools?
Mm-hmm. Some people say that they are not really effective at reducing pretrial jail populations, which is kind of what we want here, because we don't want more people to be locked up while they're supposed to be presumed innocent. Some say that they might overestimate the riskiness of defendants because they don't take into account these recent bail reform efforts that try to help people show up to their court dates, like court reminders. If you have a court reminder, you're more likely to show up, but the tool might predict how you would perform when you don't actually get a court reminder. Another really common criticism is that these tools will have racial biases kind of embedded into them, which is a lot more of a controversial topic. So some people think that since they're based on data from the criminal justice system, that they could reproduce the biases and the disparities that we currently see in the criminal justice system.
So success would be, okay, we're letting people out without bail. They don't commit a new crime. They show up for their trial. That's a win for the system if it works. You talk to some people who research these kind of things. Do we know? Do we have any idea of whether these are effective?
The shorter answer is that we don't know right now, which is kind of frustrating. And I think that, but the early data does show that these can be successful. I think in New Jersey, they've seen their pretrial populations decrease and without an increase in crime. I think in other counties across the state, I know in Lucas County, Ohio, they also saw their pretrial populations decrease without crime increasing, and more people actually showed up for court. So in some counties, they have seen success, but it's not really definitive yet. And people just have, I guess the stakeholders have a more optimistic or pessimistic interpretation of the current data that's available.
And broadening this out to what we've talked to you about in the past, your wider research on cash bail, what are the criticisms of the current system of, okay, if you can afford cash bail, you'll be free until trial. If not, you stay in jail.
Mm-hmm. So that's been criticized even by some state Supreme Court cases as a form of wealth-based discrimination, because like you said, people who are poor, they are stuck, while people who have the funds, they get to buy their way out while they wait for their trials no matter what. Sometimes even with hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some judges that we talked to said that they've seen people post $100,000, $300,000 and walk out of their jail when they are actually a very dangerous defendant.
Are there a lot of efforts going on to reform our current bail system apart from this risk assessment tool?
So there are other efforts underway. I think a lot of it surrounds pretrial services, which those are, like I mentioned before, the court reminders. Sometimes they'll have alcohol and drug testing to help people comply with their conditions of release. They also, a lot of times, will provide electronic monitoring, which is, some people say that it's a pretty invasive practice, but For some defendants, it's better than having to spend time in jail.
Now, focusing back in on this risk assessment, you write that there's a big experiment going on in Dane County. Can you talk about what's happening?
Mm-hmm. So in Dane County, they're doing what's called a randomized control trial. And so they are using pretrial risk assessments in around half of criminal cases in Dane County and what they're doing with that is kind of creating a world with the risk assessment and a world without the risk assessment to see which one provides better outcomes.
Do we have any idea when we'll have data on that to maybe answer a lot of these questions you wrote about?
Yeah, so the data for that study, researcher that I talked to said that there won't be definitive data until 2020 on that, which is kind of frustrating. But he also talked about how if we don't implement these tools and see their effects now, we'll never know if they help or hurt the system.
Emily, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you so much.
That's Emily Hamer, reporter with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Her latest story in a series on cash bail in the state and around the country looks at risk assessment algorithms used in a growing number of counties here in Wisconsin.